broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that ends up talking about going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and they won't, and they shan't, and we do, and that's where that's at. Now, this is our News and Information Hour, but really every hour is our News and Information Hour. Robert is with us. Robert Leonard, how you doing, Robert?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Like the first couple of hours, I thought it was very educational, learning about, but I'm about getting loogied, you know.
About getting loogied, yeah. And Bud Dickman, how are you doing, Bud?
I'm good. Except that the man called back.
That old guy called back?
Yeah, he called. He said he saw, said he wanted to apologize because he saw a bare boob and then he saw a butt. And he said there's, you know, all bets were off.
He said he saw, what did he say?
He said when he saw a bare boob and butt, all bets was off.
When he saw a bare boob and butt, all bets was off. Okay, fair enough. That's something I can understand.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, welcome to the final hour of our program here, and a reminder that you can win a free hour of Phil. Just go over to our Facebook fan book, our Facebook fan page, and that's facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S. Like that page, you get entered into the drawing. If you've already liked the page, say at a time before the contest, go over to Twitter, and that is twitter.com/PhilHendryShow and hashtag PHS. That's hashtag PHS. At twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. And you'll enter into a drawing for a free month of Phil on our website, philhenryshow.com, which includes our live video cast, it includes a daily podcast, it includes the archives that are thousands and thousands and thousands of hours worth. I mean, the largest archive of any single radio show ever in the history of the planet Earth. And we've got it! So, my friends, it is, it's definitely, it's one of the great things about this modern age of the World Wide Web is that the Phil Show, man, is saved in perpetuity.
What's that mean?
Perpetuity and forever.
Perpetuity meant forever, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, you'd say, like, forever, like, God's in perpetuity.
God is in perpetuity?
Yeah, because he's forever.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, he's God's perpetuity. I believe in the perpetuity of God.
You believe in the perpetuity of God. Look, bud, don't wear the word out, okay? It's just a word, man. There's other words, okay?
Yeah, but still.
Okay, fine. Great. Do whatever you want to do. 877, I believe in the perpetuity of God. 877-876-PHIL in our News and Information Hour. Now, what else, what's the other little bit that I wanted to mention? Isn't there one other thing here? What is the, yeah, we have, by the way, if you want to listen to the show, if you don't have a subscription to our show, if you don't have a subscription to our website, rather, you don't get the podcast, you can still listen to the daily show the next day if you're not, you know, if you missed some of the show over your local radio station by going to our website, and you can listen to a stream of the show right there on our website, commercial free, all 3 hours. The streaming format of the show at philhenryshow.com, so check that out. Now, D.C. Public Schools kicked off a new four-part initiative to expose students to international food and culture, and October the 26th was declared Nordic Food Day. Oh, my God!
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Don't sound good to me, though.
Well, let's just talk about this. Nordic Food Day. All 45,000, see, I don't, you know, I've had a little of that Nordic food and some of this jazz. It ain't for me, man, you know.
What do you got?
Well, just listen. All 45,000 D.C. public school students were treated to authentic Nordic dishes representing the countries of Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden. The menu included Swedish meatballs, Norwegian salmon.
That's a porn term.
What's a porn term?
Swedish meatball.
Oh, will you get out of here, a porn term?
Ain't it?
I don't think so, no.
I know the movie about Swedish meatball.
That was a guy's name.
You guys are high on a mixture of noxious fumes. You know?
No.
Well, you are. I don't know what's wrong with you. What do you mean that was the name of a guy of Swedish meatballs as a porn movie? That happens to be an actual dish. Anyway, Swedish meatballs are generally, it's a meatball, you idiots, and it's made from, I think it's like made from reindeer meat or something.
Reindeer meat? That's Santa Claus.
Oh, quit balling. Yeah, I don't know if it's reindeer meat, it's something. Anyway, Swedish meatballs Norwegian salmon.
What's that?
Salmon that speaks Norwegian. It's
that ain't funny. Everybody know that ain't funny.
And oh, shut up, bud, will you? The running commentary. Finnish rye bread and Icelandic-inspired Skyr, S-K-Y-R, along with Danish-inspired open-faced sandwiches. And no, I don't know what Skyr or Skier is. The specialty items rather that are hard to obtain were donated, and D.C. Public Schools purchased the rest, said Paula Reichel of DCPS. The donated items included Siggy's Skyr, which is a thick Icelandic-style yogurt.
That was booze.
Yeah, that's right, bud. They're going to serve booze at a kid's school, man. Speaking of that, they have a kind of booze. What's that swill that they drink up there? I got a bottle of it one time, man, and I'm telling you, it put me on my back.
What?
It's like it's a Scandinavian liquor. It's a Scandinavian spirit, and I want to call it Luda. No, it ain't Lutefisk or any. Oh yeah. No, wait. That's a Jewish fish. Yeah. What the hell am I? What's that booze? You guys? Anybody close to a computer? Which. I'm close to actually four computers, but I don't have the time to look it up. Bud, can you do that?
How do you spell it?
I don't know, man. I don't know what it's called.
Just put in, like, Norwegian booze.
Yeah, okay.
Norwegian booze? Put in Norwegian spirit or something like that. The donated items included Siggy's Skyr, a thick Icelandic-style yogurt, Ligonberry jam furnished by IKEA, and special bread called Scandia, donated by a Scandinavian bakery in Atlanta. The
but D.C.?
I don't imagine they got much call for Scandinavian food in D.C., if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, well, they got it in Atlanta.
Well, that's a good point, too. I don't know where they have it in Atlanta. Anyway, so they had, this was donated by the very good people there at that place in Atlanta. The purpose of Nordic Food Day was to expose students to new, nutritious, and appetizing foods in school while encouraging them to recreate the recipes with their parents or guardians at home. A Nordic cookbook with easy recipes was distributed to students during the event. That's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty cool. Nordic Food Day concluded with a reception at the residence of the Norwegian ambassador as well as a fundraiser at the Danish embassy to bring more salad bars to DCPS schools. A fundraiser at the Danish embassy to bring more salad bars to DCPS schools. Cool. DCPS International Food Program brought out embassies, brought other embassies into the mix as the academic year continues. An Indonesian Food Day is planned for January, and Panama will be the focus in March. So that's very cool. And so I think that it's called Brennevin? Brennevin. I don't know that that's the stuff. You know what? I don't recognize that name. Did you say Norwegian? Well, you know, I'm sure that that's one.
What's it called?
It's called Brennevin.
That's the guy that ran Russia.
Who's the guy that ran Russia?
Brennevin.
Brezhnev? Are you idiots or something?
Well, no, but I thought there was.
You got to be a real idiot, man, to come up with that one. We're talking about a Norwegian liquor, and you guys, oh, no, that's the guy that ran Russia? If I'm talking about a Norwegian liquor, rest assured that it ain't the guy that ran Russia. It's called Brennevin. That's what Chris Johnson found for us, and I'm sticking with that, unless you can find something else. So how about that, man? Scandinavian Food Day. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you were saying about having a Swedish meatball being made out of reindeer or something. I don't know if I want to eat that or not.
Well, I don't know, man. I've had reindeer.
What? In what way?
Yeah, what way?
Jeez. I've had reindeer meat of some kind. I don't know. I think it might be in the meatballs. I don't know. They're smaller, the Swedish meatballs, and they are in a different kind of a sauce. It's very good, though. It's very good. I've not had any of this other stuff, the Icelandic-style yogurt, the jams, but I bet you anything. Now, up here is... our little town up here in California, we've got... what the hell's the name of the town, man?
What?
The freaking town that everybody goes to that's got all the Danish stuff. How do you like that, man? I can't even remember the name of the town. Anyway, we have our little town up here that we go to at Christmas time, and you can buy a lot of that Scandinavian. You can buy those, like, those fritter pans, and you buy those Danish cream puffs. I don't know why I'm talking about this, because I'm on a diet, and I ain't going to be eating any of that stuff this Christmas, so you can just kiss that goodbye, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that, man, on Christmas time. It's called, you go up to Scootaloo.
Scootaloo. Now, my mind is drawing such a blank, I can't remember the name of the town that everybody goes to here. It's it was a Chamber of Commerce idea, and I can't remember it. So when I come back, maybe I will, and maybe it won't matter, and we'll be back anyway. Black voter support for Obama is steady and strong, according to this article in the New York Times. I don't know whether that's good or bad. Little diversity among Occupy Chicago protesters. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. And profanity is making a splash in book titles. That's all ahead of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have a very funny map of the world that on our Phil TV and HD we've started featuring, and I must say that I stole it from Kathy Valentine's Twitter page. If you don't know Kathy Valentine, geez, am I getting her name wrong?
You better get her name right, man. She follows you on Twitter, and you followed her back and everything like that.
Jesus. Well, forget about what I just said. We stole it from somebody, and it's really funny, and it shows the world as perhaps we should see it. All right, now I'll look up her name. Black voters' support for Obama is steady and strong. Despite a school of thought in Washington that Mr. Obama's support among blacks is weakened because of the poor economy and a sense of unmet expectations, interviews and public opinion surveys show that his standing remains remarkably strong among African Americans. Well, we have this sense of unmet expectations and a school of thought and all this other crap is all the white liberals. And maybe white conservatives, too, but it's whites. That's what a lot of people are hoping for, and that's what a lot of people are fearing, and that may be true, but what's the reality? Well, he still has a strong base of support among African Americans because, hey, that's a pretty heavy thing, a black president. First time in the history of the country, it's happened in our lifetimes, and now we have a black candidate for president, Herman Cain. Nobody's even mentioning the guy's race. And there will be more. Now, what does that mean? It means that there is a higher opportunity for better thinking. One of the things that nobody ever wants to mention this when you talk about, for instance, affirmative action, which I'm a conservative when it comes to business, but I also see where affirmative actions help the country, you know.
You're going to start getting into boring stuff.
Well, if I start getting into boring stuff, you let me know, okay, bud?
All right.
God, man, I mean, what is up with you guys?
Well, I just want to make sure it don't come out boring. Because the last time you come in and start talking about boring stuff, you know, I mean, we'll lose listeners and everything else. Now you're going to start talking about what, black people, black voters? You don't, not, I, take it from a black man. Don't do it.
Let me just say one thing, okay? I just want to say one thing.
Yeah, you're talking about affirmative action. That's a killer, man. That's an audience killer. Don't do it, man.
Oh, will you shut up? All right, now, what I was going to say is I was going to say that now I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah, now I know. The idea that, what, bud?
I got Mr. Hall.
What, did you call him up?
No, I didn't. He's calling in.
All right, David Hall, and then we'll get back. Yes, David.
All right, yeah, these guys are just trying to warn you. You're going off affirmative action, Phil. You're going to murder everything that we've ever everything we've tried to build, you're going to murder.
I have a point I'm going to make about the Obama story.
Yeah, but when you say affirmative action, you're going to murder. You're going to literally murder every piece of momentum that we've been able to build for the show. It's like taking, if the show was a baby, you're taking a loaded Luger and blowing its brains out.
Oh, my God. What a image.
I'm telling you, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
All I was going to say is that affirmative action has done some good things.
Oh, that's sexy. Yeah, how about that, you guys?
Oh, yeah, man, that's real sexy. I want to hear all about that, man.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, please. Please do talk about how bitching firm action is and everything.
It's not called firm action, bud. It's called affirmative action.
Well, yeah, but so what?
Well, that shows how bright you are. You don't even know what it's called.
Who cares what it's called? You know, if this show was a baby, you squished its head with a gun.
Listen, now he's talking that way.
As well he should. Because I'm telling you, Phil, somebody's got to wake you up. You're doing fine. You're going along great. Then all of a sudden you get on your soapbox, and man, you just commit homicide. You commit the literal homicide of this radio show. If this show were a baby...
I know, I'd blow its brains out with a Luger.
That's right. Now, I am going to have to institute, as you know, and we've talked about this, Phil, you signed off on this, and it is the show monitor. All we're going to be asking to do is that with the show monitor, we are able to keep track of what you're talking about, and if it begins to drift into some of this stuff, we can give you a little bit of a signal that doesn't have to be that overt with the audience. Did you hear that?
What was that?
But
yeah, just the show monitor. If you start to talk about anything, everybody's bored, you'll hear this sound. Okay. Now, that'll only be sounded about what they do.
Is this idiot going to run that?
Yes, but what do you mean, idiot? That's Bud's job. He's not an idiot, Phil, just because he was in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah. You think I'm a retard?
No, I don't. Is he the judge?
Bud has my full confidence. He has my full faith and confidence, as he does the...
Oh, man.
As he does the sponsors. Phil, we want you to succeed, okay? We don't want you to do to your show what you've done many nights. Now, I understand that you feel very strongly about affirmative action, and that's just wonderful. And, boy, I hope someday you get to go to Congress and talk about it. But you talking about it on a talk show, you're going to commit murder. The murder of your show. And, yes, I'll say it again, and don't interrupt me. If your show was an infant, you'd take it and throw it off a bridge 60 feet high until it bounces off the rocks below.
You just like the image of that, don't you?
How dare you? Of course I don't.
All this stuff about if your show was a baby...
That's what you're doing to it!
Yeah, you gotta understand, Mr. Henry. Your show is a baby. You're kicking it like it's...
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You're kicking it like it's a punt.
Yeah, like it's fourth down, and you need to pin it between the 20 and the goal line. The ball is a baby, and you're kicking it high in the air, getting hang time of about 4.5 seconds, and then...
Okay, fine, thank you. Get him off the phone, will you?
But you're getting hang time on a baby.
What you guys are saying is I'm doing a lousy show.
No, we're not saying that at all. We're saying if you start talking about affirmative action, stuff like that, then you're going to have to hear the show monitor. That's all we're saying. We're saying doing that right there.
So if I'm saying something that's what, bud?
If you're boring everybody and it's a and you're drop-kicking a baby.
What is this drop-kicking a baby? What is that?
If you're getting hang time on a baby.
Get him back on a phone, will you?
Hold on. Yeah, Mr. Hall, Phil wants to talk. Okay.
What's up?
What is this, hang time?
I said if the baby was a football, you'd be kicking it up.
Oh, okay. All right. I got it.
Yeah, you're getting hang time.
Getting hang time. What a stupid thing to say, man. What a stupid thing to say. That's saying that I am on purpose taking my show and booting it high in the air, getting a hang time of 4 minutes.
Yeah, but it's a baby.
And it's a baby.
Not hang time of 4 minutes. Man, if you get a 4 minute hang time, you'd be like the greatest punter.
You'd be better than Ray Guy.
4 seconds is what I mean. All right. Okay, so we won't talk about that. We got the show monitor in place. And I think that is as it... Why'd you do that?
It's boring.
Yeah, move on.
I'm explaining to people that we're not going to do the...
Just forget it.
The next topic that we're going to talk about now on the Phil Henry Show... Why'd you do that?
Do the next topic. Just do the topic.
Yeah, don't do the setup, man.
Do you guys hit the button on yourselves when you're boring people?
See, you're really digging a hole.
Yeah, man, you're taking that baby, you're punting it, and yeah, nobody's going to get a return. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. Nobody's going to get a return on what?
No one's going to return the baby.
If you mention that baby one more time, you know what I'm going to... All right, on the Phil Henry Show. So let's see, we already did Nordic Day food. the little diversity among Occupy Chicago protesters, apparently in the Occupy Oakland, the... Can you knock it off with that thing?
The show monitor.
We'll be back. Phil Henry Show coming up. We're going to be talking... We'll be right back on the Phil Henry... We'll be right back.
I'm kicking a baby.
Phil Henry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and it's our news and information hour. We were just talking about pit bulls, dogs, because of this asinine discussion I was having with Bud and with Robert about dogs, and we were actually talking about babies, right?
Yeah.
And you idiots are talking about my show. If my show was a baby, I'd punt it up in the air like it's a football. But I had remembered having that exact instinct, and it was a very real instinct with a dog that bit my daughter, and I wanted to take this animal. It belonged to a friend of mine, so I resisted the temptation. But I'm telling you, I saw myself picking this dog up and taking it out back of the guy's house and booting this thing into a lake that he had behind his house. I was ready to do it, you know. So the idea of kicking something...
Don't you like dogs?
I love dogs. Love them. I think they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I understand. And I think that show, what the hell do you call that one?
What?
The show with that guy, that the leader of the pack deal.
Oh, yeah, the Dog Whisperer.
Yeah, the Dog Whisperer.
Dog Whisperer. There you go. I think that cat's really, really wise. I think that cat says really smart stuff. And he says one thing that makes total sense. He says, let it be a dog. It's not a person. You know?
Well, what's that mean?
It means let it be a dog. It's not a freaking person, bud. It's not, you know, every time you pat a dog on the head, you reinforce whatever the dog just did. So let's say the dog's really nervous and is barking and is barking and is barking and is barking. And you go over to it and you pet it to try to calm it down. That's what would calm a human being down. But that doesn't calm a dog down. What that does is it tells the dog, good dog, keep barking and keep being nervous and keep being a pain in the ass.
What are you supposed to do?
Well, I don't know, but I'm not the Dog Whisperer, man.
Where do you find this Dog Whisperer?
What do you mean, where do you find? You knew who he was.
Well, I heard about him.
He's on TV. That's where you find him.
Oh.
Where do you find the Dog Whisperer?
Yeah, he's on TV. I forget the channel.
National Geographic. But what he says, a lot of things make sense. He says, let it be a dog. And he said one thing that I think is really wise. He said, my job is to train humans. He said, I train humans, I rehabilitate dogs. I train humans, I rehabilitate dogs. Because what he's trying to do is he's trying to teach the dog, get the dog back to being a dog. And not being a second-rate human. And the training comes with the humans. You know, if a dog is laying around and a dog looks lethargic, it isn't because the dog is depressed. You know, it isn't because the dog is sad. It's because the damn thing needs some exercise. He needs to get up off his ass. You need to take him out and walk him, you know, or something like that. I mean, I'm being very overly simplistic.
Yeah, well, you don't talk like that, do we?
Yeah, does he say get it up off its ass?
He should. If I knew enough about dogs, I'd have my own Dog Whisperer show. That's what I would say. Get the dog up off of its ass and get it outside. And then the other thing he said that a lot of people, and here's the thing. We did a show once. I did an hour on the Dog Whisperer. And there's a lot of people that don't like the Dog Whisperer because there's a lot of people that think they know all about dogs. Maybe they do. And those people that are in opposition to the Dog Whisperer are obviously the ones that think they know a lot about dogs, and they know more about dogs than him. And maybe they know more about dogs than him. I'm not saying that he's the all-time genius, but I'm saying the stuff he says makes sense. And when someone argues against it, it doesn't make sense. Like, if a dog is a pack animal and dogs believe in, and there is a sort of a pecking order in a pack, this guy, the dog whisperer, will say that never let the dog walk in front of you.
Right.
Because the dog will think he's running the pack. Now,
the dog's going to think he's smarter than you.
Well, may not. The dog doesn't think that way. The dog is thinking, okay, I'm out in front, so I'm heading the, you know, I'm leading the pack. They found in New Orleans after the flooding of Katrina, the animals that survived, the dogs particularly that survived from the Katrina flood and were eventually out on the streets of New Orleans, these were now dogs that, these were formerly domesticated and still domesticated dogs, but they were now feral in nature. They were...
What's that mean?
That, well, feral means a wild, but they weren't entirely wild, but they were getting that way, and they had formed packs. And one of the striking features of these packs was that the smartest dog, and perhaps the most dominant dog, would be the leader of the pack, and oftentimes it was a small dog.
You're kidding me? Like the little tiny dog would lead it?
Yeah, you would see packs of dogs being led by the alpha dog in that pack, and it was a little dog. Maybe not a chihuahua, but it was a smaller dog than the other dogs, which were much, much bigger. That dog took over in terms of where to go for food, where to go for shelter, what to do and how to do it, and so the other dogs followed. And so that's how dogs think. And this guy's just talking about that, you know.
Well, I mean, you know what? You're talking about that guy like he's great. I tried to get that guy on for an interview, and he don't care, man. He thinks his stuff don't smell.
Yeah, he thinks his dude doesn't smell.
Who?
The dog whisperer.
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't care if you get him on for an interview. You guys try to get him on for an interview?
Yeah, we try to get him on for an interview, and he's just all, well, I don't know.
Did you talk to him?
No, but that's what I imagine he was saying.
You know, I'll bet you anything, bud, when you guys contact somebody on my behalf to get them on the show, I don't know what they think. Are you talking to them?
Sometimes. Sometimes Robert do.
Sometimes and sometimes Robert do.
Yeah, your grammar's bad, man.
Yeah, yours isn't that much better.
Okay, fine. We don't have to have the dog whisper on the show. That's not what we're doing around here. Do you understand?
Yeah, but I thought it'd be fun because of what he, you know, all the stuff that he does. And plus, the dog whisperer, they're wondering, trying to find a cat whisperer.
Yeah, you know if there's one?
A cat whisperer? No, man, I don't know if there's a cat whisperer, okay?
Well, because if a cat whisperer, probably cat would be on your face.
Why? Because it's the...
Yeah, it's the quality.
I don't know if there's a cat whisperer, man. I don't know. The thing about cats that I learned, I had a book on cats because my kids had cats, and cats are the opposite of dogs. Cats are predator hunters. They're not pack animals. They are loners, or they buddy up, as they say. So cats, when you relate to a cat relates to you on the basis of you're his buddy. And then he has his individual relationships with all the other members of the household, but he's not all pack mentality about it. So he comes over and he sits on your lap, or he goes over and he talks and meows to somebody else, and that's what cats do. The other thing about cats is they own spaces around the house. A cat will take over a space. You ever been working at your desk? I don't have anybody on the listening. This happened to me a lot when we had our cat. I'd be sitting at my desk at home, and the cat would jump right up and sit right in an inbox that I have for mail and for just important papers.
What was he doing, sleeping there?
He would just get right there in that inbox and sit there, man. That's where he was going to be, and he's sitting there next to Phil. You know, it was very funny. Or he would... if I had a newspaper that I was reading and I had it spread out on the table, he gets right up there and he sits on that newspaper. I think it's their way of, they connect to one human being at a time. And then the other thing that everybody notices about cats is the fact they bring their kill.
Oh, man, that one cat, remember that cat that brought the dead bird?
Cats will bring dead birds, they'll bring dead... and I used to think that was the cat saying, look, I'm doing my job. But that's not what that is. It's the cat bringing back kill for food.
What are you talking about?
That's the cat saying, okay, I'm doing my part here. Here is some food.
Like a dead mouse?
Dead mice? They don't know from humans. What the hell do they know, man? They probably think we eat mice. Who the hell knows? They eat them. They're perfectly fine with eating mice. So they'll kill a bird, or they'll kill a mouse, or they'll kill whatever's on the perimeter, and bring it and put it on the like the welcome mat, you know.
It's a way of saying welcome home.
Yeah, welcome home. Here's your dead mouse. But they do. They kill the animals that come into their territory. But the reason why they lay it on the mat is to say, here's something to eat.
What do you? I thought it was to say, look at me. I'm doing my job.
That's what I thought. That's what I. But apparently, that's not it. It's not necessarily. I don't know. Some of these guys that speak cat, you know, one of the things about cats is they come from wildcats. That the cats that we have in our houses today were domesticated from originally either the African wildcat, the African sand cat, or other wildcats in Europe. And there's a wild, and if you look at wildcats, they look just like regular house cats, except sometimes they have bigger heads, they've got higher ears. They're wild. They're not domesticated. They're wild cats. But that's what domesticated cats come from. And there's a couple of them that are going extinct. One of them's called a Scottish wildcat, and you ought to see this animal. It's something else, man. It's a cat. Looks, you'd swear to God, it's a regular house cat, except it's got these big ears. And these big bugged out eyes, and it's wild, man.
You mean wild like it's cool?
No, it's wild like it's wild. Yeah, it's cool. It's
wild, in it, but it's wild.
It's a wild cat, man. Yeah, but it's also wild. And so there's a lot of different things going on to try to preserve. I don't know whether you're going to be able to preserve them or not. What the hell do you know? I mean, one of the things that's wiping out wild cats is that they're interbreeding now with domestic cats. So gradually, the wildcats are, you know, getting watered down or whatever the hell you'd call it, you know.
What, where are they from?
Well, the domestic cats that we have today come from either the African wildcat, there's a sand cat, and then there's a European wildcat, and there's different versions of the European wildcat. One of them is a Scottish cat. The dogs all come from wolves from either Western China or the Middle East.
I heard about the Western China, like the four female wolves.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find that story, but that all dogs all over the world, all domesticated dogs all over the world, originated with four female wolves in Eastern or Western China. I don't know. I haven't seen that story anywhere else, but it's fascinating to contemplate that. But they now believe that many dogs were domesticated in the Middle East, in some part of the Middle East. Anyway, I don't know how we got off talking about dogs, but at least you guys didn't hit that boring thing. So
I forgot to do it.
Yeah, you forgot to do it because it wasn't so boring, was it? All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Companies are marketing moisturizers to macho men. Yes, that's right. Macho men are now going to have to soften their skin or not. I don't know that it matters to anybody, but isn't that weird? Ha, ha, ha. No, it's not. We'll be back. Thank you. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil... Hey, don't overdo it now, bud. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I just looked at this. This is I was looking at another story that I'll get to. Representative Lofgren, copyright bill is the end of the internet. This is a Representative Zoe Lofgren, the California Democrat, whose district includes the heart of Silicon Valley, is preparing to lead congressional opposition to the new Stop Online Piracy Act. The anti-piracy legislation introduced yesterday to the House of Representatives. When I say yesterday, what is the date on this story? Well, it's the 27th. Today is the 28th, technically. So it was yesterday. So I'm still reviewing the legislation, but from what I've already read, this would mean the end of the internet as we know it, whose congressional district includes the high-tech center of San Jose, will be a key ally for Google, Yahoo, and other tech companies who are already working with advocacy groups through trade associations to figure out how to defeat SOPA, also known as the E-Parasite Act. So far, at least, they're outnumbered, outspent, and outgunned SOPA's backers, including the Republican or Democratic heads. Well, I'll tell you what. If YouTube is opposed to this current Stop Online Piracy Act, then there must be something to it, because YouTube, well, actually, no, what am I saying, YouTube? YouTube loves to post copyright infringing material. I shouldn't say they love it, because they do take it down when they're asked to take it down. And this must take it another step. It must take it to an unrealistic extent in the mind and in the eyes of YouTube. Because, look, folks, copyrights have been with us for a long time. They're necessary. They protect people's work. And more importantly, when we say they protect people's work, it protects people's income. Because many people, including myself, rely upon income from copyright-protected works to make their living. And when you want to remove that copyright protection, you're basically saying, you, Phil Henry, and you, all of you people out there that make your living on your copyright-protected material, you don't have a right to make a living. Well, that's not fair. It's certainly, I mean, to use an Obama word. All right. Lofgren has also earned the enmity of some copyright lobbyists for trying to expand Americans' fair use rights. In 2002, she introduced a bill which was ultimately unsuccessful that would amend the Digital Millennium Copyright Act to allow consumers to make backup copies of digital media, such as DVDs, that they had lawfully purchased. Well, that doesn't sound bad. Making a backup copy of something. What we're talking about here is making whatever you have available to the public, regardless of whether you know the person or not. So you're not sharing with a friend. You are now just making it available to any anonymous person out there. You are attempting to defeat the person's copyright, which is and should be illegal. So maybe I had to look into this Representative Lofgren. Why are you so interested in this, Representative Lofgren? Don't you know anybody that owns a copyright? Have you ever written anything that's copywritten? Are you yourself copywritten, Representative Lofgren? I don't know. All right, let's move off of that and get into something that's much more interesting. Check this out. Google is gearing up original YouTube programming. Original YouTube programming, according to a column on CNET. YouTube will soon offer its own original programming, the Wall Street Journal reported today, citing anonymous sources. According to the Journal, Google could announce original programming exclusive to YouTube as early as next week. The Journal's sources said that Google has inked deals with Interactive Corp's Electus, News Corp, CSI creator Anthony Zucker to create content for its site, and celebrity skateboarder Tony Hawk has also reportedly signed a deal with Google. Reports of Google trying to bring original content to YouTube first cropped up in April. So YouTube, in your attempt to defeat the Stop Piracy Act, keep in mind that you will now have original content of your own that I'm sure you will not want pirated, or maybe you will. I don't know. But this is really cool because guess what this is, ladies and gentlemen? This is Google creating original content. They already have original content, of course, which is your content, the stuff that you guys like to upload there. And if you get enough views, then they share 5 cents of every 10 cents they make, something like that, on the advertising that they sell. But perhaps this gives the average person even more of an opportunity to get something up on YouTube that you can make some real money on. All signs pointed to the possibility of Google getting into the original content game back in March when the company announced the acquisition of Next New Networks, a video production firm that YouTube said at the time would work in a hands-on way with a wide variety of content partners and emerging talent to help them succeed on YouTube. If YouTube does in fact release original content, it would mark a significant shift for the site. Over the years, YouTube has relied on third-party content and has consistently said that it's not in the original content game. Well, guess what? According to the Journal's sources, that's the Wall Street Journal, Google has designs on becoming a next-generation cable provider and has shifted its focus. Independent data released this week actually reflects a shift in consumer habits, with internet video consumption starting to rival cable. Very heavy. And put that next to what we were telling you about internet radio being now sold, individual internet radios that you can use with your home entertainment system. Think about this now, folks. You have your home entertainment system with your internet radio, with your internet video, and television as we know it, and radio as we know it. Goodbye. Goodbye. All those companies are gone. And the individual entrepreneurs. And if you want an example of the entrepreneur economy that is beginning to arise in America, there's no clearer example of it, though, than in this the entertainment medium of what is happening in my business and elsewhere. Individuals owning their own content, creating their own content, putting it on the internet, either by way of radio, audio, or by way of video, and making money that way. So all of the bigger companies out there, now, of course, they're trying to, you know, be a part of this. News Corp, which is Rupert Murdoch's company, is going to contribute, according to this story, we'll see what happens next week. Anthony Zucker, who's the creator of CSI, and individual television producers, but the big-ass companies, the CBSs, the NBCs, the we'll see what happens as to whether or not they are in the game, man. You know.
You know, I got to tell you something. As much as I, you know, I was really kind of enjoying what you were saying and everything, but I had to hit the button, but I couldn't find it. So, you know.
You had to hit the button, but you couldn't find, you mean the boring button?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened to it, but thank goodness for that. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by, it's produced by Dan Northcraft, Phil Henry, Fred Scotty, and Chris Johnson. And, of course, is here each and every night. And we're also online at philhenryshow.com. So if you'd like to join us at philhenryshow.com, be sure to get over there and... Yeah, there it is. I knew it.
Yeah, just found it.
Be sure to get over there and get yourself a backstage pass and sign up for our subscription. Also, win a free... Will you shut up? Win a free month of Phil. Details forthcoming here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.